Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for being in the house of the Lord once again tonight. We pray as a result of you being here tonight, you would be encouraged in your faith, encouraged in the Word, courage to help you through the rest of this week. Amen. Amen. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Amen. Make him known. That's our theme throughout the year as God is challenging us in Acts chapter 5 verse 20 to go, to stand, and to speak, to make him known. But today is the beginning of a new month, and in this month we're going to talk about the subject matter, make him known through love. Make him known through love. And tonight we're going to be sharing a message entitled, The Characteristics of God's Love. The Characteristics of God's Love. And we're going to be looking at a very familiar text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. We want you to read this out loud together at the same time on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4. Through 7. And tonight we're going to look at the characteristics of love, and we want you to know tonight that love is patient, that love is polite, love is propitious, love is peaceful, and love is philanthropic. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should display God's love and relationships to make him known. Christians should display God's love and relationships to make him known. Love is a very popular subject during this time of year, as we are a few days out from Valentine's. Love is something that can be the greatest blessing when you talk about love and relationships or love and marriage. Be one of the world's greatest blessings if you choose or you're in right relationship with that person who really knows how to love. It's a dangerous thing for somebody to do, as many say, to fall in love. And if you ever heard me speak on this topic of love, you've heard me say that anything that I've ever fell into wasn't good. And love, particularly when it comes to trying to choose a mate, is one of the most important decisions that you will make, and I think it's the most important decision that you will make after your accepting Jesus Christ. And that's when you choose someone to love. I heard a quote in a movie, How to Marry a Millionaire, and I'm kind of paraphrasing. Lauren Bacall's character says, people think more of how to win a horse race than they do of who and how to choose someone to love. So this month, we're going to do an exhaustive study in love, and we want you to learn God's way of love. We're going to talk about God's love towards us. We're going to talk about our love towards one another and how we're supposed to treat one another in our Christian relationship and in and at the church. We're going to talk about love and marriage. There's an old song that says, love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage. And we're going to make a biblical case for marriage in our culture, in our society. And there was a time when we didn't have to make a case for marriage, but in our households, many of our households, Stitch tells us that 70% of our households don't even have a man in it. The only problem with that is probably about 50% of that 70% have children in it, which means that there are men somewhere, and they're just not being committed to marry. So we're going to make a biblical case for marriage as we talk about love and marriage. But tonight we're just going to talk about the overall characteristics of love that you can apply in your marriage, or if you're dating, that you should look for in someone to possibly end up being a mate. These characteristics, again, as characteristics we need to apply to one another as we're in this church body. And really, the love of God is what's meant to draw people to Him. Because Christ is the ultimate model of love. And Christ's motto of love is so unique that it's called, and we'll learn this a little later, the mystery of marriage. And the mystery of marriage is that man loved that woman so much like Christ loved the church, that he gives his life away in true love, and through that we make him known. Through that we make him known. But tonight we're going to just talk about the general characteristics. And if you're married, you can apply it. If you're single, this is what you should be looking for. You should be prepared to do in marriage, because marriage is not for children. Meaning you have to be emotionally mature enough to apply this and to be this in a loving relationship. Amen. Amen. But we're going to talk about the characteristics of love. The characteristics. First of all, we see in the Bible that in this text it says, love is patient. Love is patient. Again, this word for love, as if you heard me preach on this before, is a Greek word called agape, which means it's void of emotions. It is a decision of the will. Before Christ would have to die for us in that Garden of Gethsemane, his emotions were saying, Father, if you would, let this cup pass by. But true love said, nevertheless, not my will, not my emotions, but not my will, but thy will be done. So true love is a decision of the will. When you choose this is not something that you feel. And that feeling kind of love comes from a Greek word called eros, and it has to do with more emotional or sexual attraction. But in this text, this love is God's kind of love. When the Bible says God so loved the world, God so agape the world that he gave his only begotten son, this is God. Agape is patience. Agape is patient. You can't really, really say that you love somebody if you're not patient with them. Especially in a marriage relationship, because in a marriage relationship, you're closer than you'll ever be. And that person will have habits that you probably didn't know about and do some things that you don't like done that man might, he might not put his clothes in the hamper. He might just put it out in the floor, and instead of being a nag, 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 you have to learn to be patient. You have to learn to be patient with people. You see, love is patient. It's not going to jump off the handle. It's not going to get mad easily. As the text says a little later, it's not easily angered. Love is patient. Love is patient. So you pose the question, are you ready to love? There was a singer back in the day said, I'm ready for love. I believe it's India Irie, that song, I am ready for love. But are you ready, really ready for love? Because if you're ready for love, you better be ready to be patient. Hello, somebody. Be ready to be patient with that husband. Be ready to be patient with that wife. Be ready. For number says of this kind of patient that God was slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. When I'm really patient with you, we won't be arguing all the time, because I won't get angry easily, because you don't do what I want you to do. I don't get mad. I don't get upset. And if your relationship is full of arguing and that's all you do is argue, then it's missing patience. You should be patient with one another. And it's the same thing that goes on in the church. If you're easily angered by that person that shows up and does something that you don't like, and you get mad and you get angry, that's not true love. True love is patient. True love is slow to anger. I can be patient with you. I can be patient with you. So true love, characteristic of love, is someone who's patient. But not only that, but the Bible goes on to say that love is kind, or love is polite, or love is nice. Love is nice, and if you want to marry somebody who would make a good mate, you got to marry somebody who's polite. You got to marry somebody who's kind. You got to marry somebody who's nice. Nice guys get a bad thing in our day and time, because ladies, they like to they say they like the bad boys. They like the thug love. Hello, somebody. They don't like the nice guy. The nice guy they overlook. Oh, but if you overlook Mr. Nice Guy and you marry Mr. Wrong or Mr. Bad, and Mr. Bad is arguing, fussing, and fighting and cussing all the time, that's not love. That's not the kind of love that he wants you to deal with. Him or her, if she arguing, fussing, and fighting, and mean, sister wrong. She's not nice. She's not polite. She's or he's not kind. Characteristics of love that operates in a marriage relationship is you should be patient with one another, and not only a marriage relationship but any relationship, but you should also be polite. To be kind. Be kind. Why, Mama Nam used to say, if you can't say anything good, then don't say nothing at all. And that's what many of us need to do in our relationship with one another, and especially in our marriage relationships. You can't say anything good, don't say nothing. Hello, somebody. Some of y'all be real quiet around the house. You think he or she'll think something wrong with you. Why you ain't saying nothing? Because you finally learn to be kind. To be kind, to be polite. To be nice. To be nice. And it's something that's a solid foundation of any love relationship, is simply just being able to be nice. To be nice. Be nice to your mate. Be nice to your children. Hello, somebody. Apply this with the members of the church. Be nice to the members of the church. Be nice. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Or neighbor. Be nice to me. Be kind to me. Be polite to me. I'm the king's kid. You just can't talk to me just any way. I'm made in the image of God. You just can't talk to me any way. Oh, you need to be nice to me. And the same way some of y'all you can be arguing, fussing, and fighting, get pulled over by the police, and the police come up to the window and you say, "Hello, officer. How you doing today?" That's being nice. Being nice, just a simple. We used to call this just simple manners. Do we have just simple manners? Can you just be nice to me? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor. Again, be nice to me. Nice to me. That's what the Bible says. You're supposed to be patient with me. I just got saved. I don't know as much as you know. I'm just in this thing, and I came through here. Don't be mean to me if I don't know some of the stuff that you know. Hello, somebody. Be patient with me. We're patient with our children. We don't expect our children to come out of the womb walking, do we? We don't expect our children the second day after they're born, say, Junior, why are you not talking now? Let Junior, why are you not walking now? Hello, somebody. Let Junior, why you ain't got no hair on your head? Let Junior, why you ain't got no teethies? We're patient with you. We're patient with children. You know, they cry in the middle of the night. Guess what we do? Get up to see after them. We're patient and we're kind, if we got any sense. You know, we don't go up in there and say, "Let Junior, why are you crying in the middle of the night?" No, we're patient with them and we're kind. We're polite. And that's what we have to be with each other. We're not all the same spiritual age. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's what we have to be in loving relationships. Just be polite. Just be polite. Psalms 117:2 says, "For his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting." His loving kindness is great to us. His loving kindness is great to you. Are you lovingly kind to your mate? Are you lovingly kind to members in the church? Are you lovingly kind to the people that you work with at work? Because again, we're talking about the love that makes him known. There needs to be a difference in you. And when people are out there, they're going to find out that you're a Christian anyway. And when they find out you're a Christian, do you display this kind of characteristics? Can they see the patience that you have with your boss and the patience you have with your co-worker? Can they see the kindness that you have in your life? Because again, with this kind of love, these kind of characteristics make him known. People will see what you have and want to have what you have. Love is propitious, which means to find favor. To find favor, which is opposite of, does not envy. Man, if we could, a whole lot of folk in the church and even in marriage could just get along if they just don't envy one another. They just don't envy one another. There's some people are having problems in their marriages. Some men are having problems in their marriage because their wives are making more money than them. And instead of realizing that it goes into one bank account, they get envious. Hello, somebody. Get envious. No, I can remember when Sister Etime was making more money than me. Guess what? Hey, hallelujah! we both. It's on bad. It's on our bank account. It's our name. Now, she may have had a stash somewhere, but I still had access. Hello, somebody. I didn't have to be envious of her. She's my wife. Why do I need to be envious of my wife? The Bible said the two shall become one flesh, which makes, if I'm envious of my mate, that makes me schizophrenic. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. but folk do that. They're envious of their mate. They got a better job, or they're envious of their mate. Maybe they came from a different path, have a better education. And no. You can't love somebody you envious of. Hello, somebody. Why I need to be envious of my wife? Why you need to be envious of your husband? Why you need to be envious of any sister that walk in here? Hello, somebody. Or any brother that walks up in here. Why do I need to be envious? Why do I need to be jealous? The same God that blessed him or her can also in due time bless me. So why do I have to be jealous or envious? Why do I have to be jealous or envious of any other preacher? I don't care who that preacher is. I'm not jealous or envious of Bishop Jakes. I'm doing pretty good. From where I sit, I'm doing real good to myself. I don't have to be envious of anybody. You know, that kind of envious and jealousy leaves you open to the temptations of the devil. And that's why love does not envy. I don't have to envy no man, no woman, no job, no car. You know, I don't have to be jealous of somebody rolling on 22s with the wheels spinning and the car jumping up and down. I ain't got to be jealous of anybody in a Rolls Royce. Hello, somebody. I just don't have to. If I love them, if I'm supposed to love them, how can I love them and be envious of them at the same time? They may not know Christ, but I'm looking at the car as opposed to looking at a lost soul in a car that they're going to have to leave somewhere. Hello, somebody. And I'm envious so much so that I can't make him known. Hello, somebody. Because some of the most lost folk in this world have a lot of stuff and things. And they come to the conclusion that that's what people want them for, is their stuff and things. Can't trust nobody. Can't even trust the Christian folk who's supposed to have the answer because they jealous, hate us. Hello, somebody. That's not a good look for a Christian, to be a hater. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Don't hate me. You need to love me. Don't be envious of me. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't even know what I had to go through to get what I have. Hello, somebody. If some of us got into stuff we wish we could give back. Hello, somebody. Yeah, and get out of, but you envious. No. One of the ways you know whether you're being envious of anybody or not, this second command, Mark 12:31 says, the second is this, you love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. Which would mean there would be no room for envy. Are you envious of yourself? Hello, somebody. When you wake up in the morning, are you envious with yourself? You sure look too good tonight. I don't like you. Looking in the mirror. Hello, somebody. You love your neighbor as you're not envious of yourself. You want to do good, so you want them to do good as well. Hello, somebody. Also, love is peaceful, which is the opposite of is not proud. Oh, be careful. If you marry somebody who got pride issues, if you date somebody that's got too much pride, hello, somebody. You got too much pride. Now, pride is what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Hello, somebody. It was pride that got the devil kicked out of heaven. And this is what love is not. Love is, it can't be prideful. Which means that I'm a peaceable person. I get along with people. Be careful when you're in a relationship, especially singles. You have a choice right now. If you're going out with somebody and they don't have no friends, you're going out with somebody and they can't get along with nobody. You're going out with somebody and they've never been a part of any kind of team. Hello, somebody. That could be a prideful person, because prideful people don't work well in teams. Prideful people don't get along well. A prideful pastor come up in here and say, I'm the H-N-I. Think he's the muckety muck on top. No, you ain't on top. You're under shepherd. Christ is the real shepherd. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Prideful person can't get along with anybody. And always arguing, fussing, and fighting, trying to get their opinions through, trying to make you believe what they believe. Hello, somebody. Prideful. This is not a sign of what true love is. A person that really has love, they're peaceful. They don't have to be out front. They don't have to be seen. Hello, somebody. One of the things that I used to love is I used to love acting. I at one time wanted to be a thespian, a professional actor. And the best thing that I like the most is I like working behind the scenes. I didn't have to be up front. I didn't have to have the spotlight on me all the time. I like working behind the scenes. See, a prideful person, they don't want to be behind the scenes. They want to be seen. Hello, somebody. They want the spotlight. Hello, somebody. It's about them. Hello, somebody. That's all they talk about. When they talk, if you're single and going out on a date, they're talking about themselves and ask you one question about yourself, pride. Hello, somebody. If you're in a marriage relationship, you have to humble yourself, because in a marriage relationship, somebody say, marriage is 50-50. No, marriage ain't 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. It ain't 50-50. And in marriage, you shouldn't get your way all the time. Hello, somebody. That's a whole nother person with other views. I know when you were dating, y'all act like y'all were one person. Hello, somebody. When you got married, you realize that, hey, you were two different people. You see things in two different ways. Prideful people don't compromise. It always has to be, be careful when they say it's my way or the highway. Hello, somebody. No, who? I think that was Frank Sinatra sung that song, My Way. Hello, somebody. My Way or the Highway? Wait a minute. Is that godly? Is that biblical? My way or the highway? And this will really help us in the church, because we need to come together as a collective, and we can't all be saying my way or the highway. We've got to be peaceable. We've got to be willing to compromise for a greater goal that we have. Peaceable. Can you get along? I get along. Do you get along with folk? Or are you peaceable, or are you arguing all the time? Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. A man's pride will bring him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Don't be prideful in your marriage. Don't be prideful at church. Don't be prideful at work. Don't be prideful towards your kids. Don't always have to be your way or the highway. You know, that's some, I don't know if I should say that. I guess I could. You know, because this church is God's church. It's a collective. That's some stuff that goes on in the church that I don't even like. But you hear me complaining about it? Some preachers, that's all they do. They get up, instead of preaching the word, they tell you what they don't like. What needs to be their way. No, it don't have to be my way. I just pray about it. And if it's of the Lord, it will give birth. If it's not, guess what? It can die. Hello, somebody. That's what we got to learn to do, to be peaceable. Oh, if there's something that you don't like that's going on in your marriage, worse in your marriage too. There's something you don't like going on in your marriage, pray about it. Don't argue, fuss, and fight about it. Pray about it. Tell somebody. And be peaceable. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, we need to sign a peace treaty tonight. We don't need to be at war with one another. That's what the devil wants us to destroy our marriages, to destroy our church. He wants us to be at war with one another. Oh, but if we really love, if we have the characteristic of what true love is, that means we're peaceable. Hello, somebody. We're peaceable. We're humble and lowly people. We don't always have to get our way. And always seeking God's way. And usually God does have a way, and it's based in his word. And many times when we're in disharmony and disunity, it's not because of God's word, it's because of our application of God's word. Hello, somebody. And it's easy to hear that word, but it's a whole nother thing to apply it to our lives. Hello, somebody. But love is peaceful. It's not prideful. It doesn't boast. No, it doesn't boast. You want to see somebody that don't have no God in them? They're just boasting all the time. Boasting. I got this. I got that. I got this. I did this. I did that. You got I-itis. Yeah, I-isms. That's not love. That's not love. What am I boasting about? What do I have boast about? The only thing I need to boast about is God. Is in making him known. Maybe if I stop talking about myself and display true love, I can make him known. Hello, somebody. I can make him known. Love is it's very practical. It's philanthropic, which means it is not self-seeking, or is not selfish. Love is not selfish. And if you want to make sure marriage don't work, marry somebody that's selfish. They gonna have no thought of who you are. Spending money like they're still single. Going out buying boats and can't pay the bills of buying boats. Rams for the car. Selfish. Hello, somebody. Just totally and utterly selfish. Has no clue, no iota that there is another person in this relationship. Yeah, and not even children. That's not love. Love is not selfish. It is selfless. Hello, somebody. If you want to make your marriage work, start being selfless. Die to self. Die to always having things done your way. Be philanthropic. And this has to do with giving. You know, one thing we don't have to teach a child is we don't have to teach a child to be selfish. Because one of the first words they learn is what? Mine. Mine. Don't have a job. Ain't ever got a paycheck. Ain't worked a day in their life. And they said, mine. Hello, somebody. If you don't teach them how to be unselfish, they'll grow up and they'll be the same way as adults. Be married to a wife. Well, the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. Shall leave father and mother and cling to their wives. And they send mines. This is my car. This is my house. This is mine. It's my closet. Hello, somebody. Mine. Hello, somebody. That's not true love. True love knows how to sacrifice. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say of the universe, mine. Jesus came down, he died. He was selfless. He died. Love philanthropic. 1 John 3:16-18 says, but we know love, that he who lays down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You never hear that said anywhere but the church every once in a while. Lay down my life for my brother. Lay down my life. And it goes on to explain, but if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Though children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is an action. It is an action. If you say that you love me, you can show it. And many times you can show it by what you give. Hello? If you say that you love the church, then I'll see it in your offering. Hello, somebody. I'll see it in your offering. If you say that you love the church, I'll see it in your offering. That's the bottom line. If you love Bethlehem, you support the ministries of this church, because love is philanthropic. It's not just saying that you love. Young ladies, if you're going out with a brother, he talking about that love thing, and he took you out on a date, and he made you pay your pass, your part. See, we going Dutch today. That's what they do nowadays. And that's the same brothers that's not marrying either. They got you paying Dutch, or you paying for him. Hello, somebody. No. True love is philanthropic. It gives. It sees a need and meets the need. It doesn't. It don't need to be. And again, love is not prideful. So this kind of person can give in private. Hello, somebody. They don't have to be seen giving. Hello, like you hear me mess with some of the mega churches where they have these $1,000 lines. I'm giving today. I'm giving today. I'm giving. No, no, no. That's not love. That's boasting. That sounds like the opposite of love. Well, I need to let you know how much I'm giving. And that's the reason why they have those lines, because there's some folk that will only give when they can be seen. That's not true love. That's manipulation. Hello, somebody. It's manipulation. You shouldn't have to stand in the $1,000 line. Did you stand in the penny line when you were broke? Why are you trying to stand in the $1,000 line now? Hello, somebody. That's prideful. That's boasting. That's not love. But love gives, and it's not selfish. It's not selfish. We all can, especially those of us who are married, we all can go through this and say, Lord, am I truly being a godly mate? Lord, I heard what your word is saying, and I'm convicted in certain areas, and as a result, I want to be a better person. As a result of hearing your word, I want to apply this in my marriage. I want to be patient with my mate. I want to be polite with my mate. I want to be propitious with my mate. I want to look on them with favor. I don't have to envy them. I look at them with favor. I want to be peaceable in my marriage. And I want to be arguing, fussing, and fighting no way. And I want to find ways to be philanthropic, to give to my wife. Many times Valentine's gives us that opportunity. But really, we should be that all year round. Hello, somebody. We should be that all year round. And for you singles, this is what you're looking to become in and of yourself. This is the preparation for marriage, because marriage is a serious thing. You really should be mature to marry. Because only mature people can be patient. Immature people throws a fit. Have you ever seen little Johnny want to get his way in the store, and what does he do? Throw a tantrum. You don't want to get little Johnny up in age and have him throwing tantrums. Talking about I'm a man, but throwing tantrums. Mad. Arguing, fussing, fighting. Putting his hand through the walls and all kinds of crazy stuff. Hello, somebody. You have to be becoming that, and have to look for somebody with these kind of characteristics, someone who's polite. The politeness will go a long way in a marriage. If you just find somebody that can be kind. They can be kind to you. Polite. Someone who looks with you with favor, who you can look in their eyes and see that they favor you. Some married couples, you look in their eyes and they, you don't see favor in their eyes. Hello, somebody. And sometimes it's because of the stuff that they've been through, because there's some women and some men that has been through some stuff. And it takes away that favor. But again, you can't allow the circumstances to change you. This is the characteristics of God that God wants to manifest in you. And this is the kind of love that God can only give you. Find someone that's people, someone that gets along. You don't want somebody fighting all the time. You know, young kids, that always be a fight going on somewhere as a young kid. You know, when you grow up, stop all that fighting. I got better things. I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of what God tells me. I don't need to be fighting with folk. Again, find someone who's giving. Sister Eton passed that test, by the way. I don't know if I told y'all. Because I was, you know, when I was dating her, I would pay the way all the time. But one of my tests was, is if she would ever ask to take one bill, that's all it had to be. And she passed the test because, you know, I had to know that she would be giving. Now, I would provide, you know, and in marriage, you know, my money go to the bills. Her money goes towards the candy, you know, some of the bills as well, but her money is the money that goes for the fun stuff. But people have to be willing to give, and it's a hard thing when you marry somebody that's not giving. Boy, you got bills, and this person is just doing what they want to do. He said, wait a minute, this ain't love. You spending your money on your car? We need food? Spending your money on your car and the electric bill got to be paid? And marriage is for responsible people, and love is responsible. Hello, somebody. Love will make the right choice all the time. And we've got to be that way, not only in our marriage relationships, but we've got to be that way with one another as well. We've got to be that way with one another. It amazes me that how some of us can't get along. We're not around each other but 2, maybe 4 or 6 hours a week. And can't get along. It always amazes me. Always amazes me. But people who love, you can be patient for. You can be polite. You can look with favor. Propitious, you can be peaceful, you can be giving. That's what church is really supposed to be all about. There was a song, and then we'll pray. And I used to mention this illustration all the time when I first came here about fellowship. There's a TV program that the theme of Cheers, it says, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. He says, every pathway, don't go all the way. That's fellowship. That's what church should be about. We should look forward because we love one another. Look forward to coming here. We should look forward to coming here. And when we love one another, that's what we do, because we're patient with one another. We're polite to one another. We're propitious. We want God to have favor on you. We're peaceful for one another. We give. That's what church is. And if we want to really make him known, we really need to start by loving one another, because love is contagious. Everybody, especially in our culture and time, you're going to hear me say throughout this month that I believe that marriage was God's way to make sure that every child, every woman experienced love. But we don't have that in our culture and time. Again, I told you, 70% of our households don't even have a man in it. Hello, somebody. So we got folk that have not experienced that man kind of love, that sacrificial kind of love. And as a result, there's a void where people, they're desiring love, and they're looking for love, and they're looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong people. But they should be able to come here and find love within this place, within this people, because everybody wants to be loved. Hello, somebody. Everybody wants to be loved. And the church has to take up the slack of the family. God ordained the family first, but the family has collapsed in our culture, in our time, and it's the church's job to take up where the family has missed, and it's our job to love people into the kingdom of God. It's our job to love so much that this world will be drawn to know him. Who is him? He is the one who started this love in the first place, for the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It started with him. It started with him. And we are his church, his bride, to which he loves us unconditional. And we're going to see later on in this series how God loves us unconditionally. And many times when we come from broken families, we don't understand what it's like to feel unconditional love. And we think that our God is a heavenly cockroach crusher, as opposed to a heavenly father who loves us patiently in and through it all, in our bad, in our mixed, and our message. His love, his grace, and his mercy abounds. And that's what we've got to do as a church, to show that kind of love to one another. Hello, somebody. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to do in this area of love. God is calling us to this. If we can get this down, we can make him known. Because people hear about how we love one another, as opposed to hearing about how we're arguing, fussing, fighting all the time. Hello, somebody. Them folk can't get along. Hello, somebody. They'll be hearing about that love, that Christ will be lifted up in love, and he'll draw men, women, and children unto himself and be glorified. Be glorified, because we as a people decided to get serious with God. We decided to get serious with the love that we're supposed to apply in our relationship with our brothers and sisters, and our relationship with our husbands and wives, and our relationship with our children. Children need this kind of love too. Children need you to be patient with them. Children need you to be polite with them. Children need you to see in your eyes that you find favor. You should be like grandmama. Grandma, when grandmama died, she had everybody thinking that I was her favorite. Because the way she loved, the way she loved. Hello, somebody. Everybody, I was her favorite. That's love. That's the kind of love. Peaceful. Children need a peaceful household. You wanna make a hypertensious adult? Put him in a household where there's arguing, fussing, and fighting all the time. Hello, somebody. Well, they don't feel the security that they need to feel as children. They think that they're going to get kicked out. Mama's going to kick daddy out, or daddy's going to kick mama out. And they don't have that security. And they leave that place and never find the security. And they're always worried and anxious about stuff happening. And they're worried and anxious about stuff happening because they grew up in a household where they couldn't trust that mama loved daddy regardless of in and through it all. They grew up in a household where they heard mama and daddy fight. Your children shouldn't hear you fight. Hello, somebody. I got a rule. Try to go by it. The preacher's voice can't be used in my household. If I use my preacher's voice in my household, I'm wrong. Because I shouldn't be raising my voice at my wife. Hello, somebody. They shouldn't be raising our voices. They need a place of peace, of security. And there's some folk out in that world who's looking for, they come from households like that, and they need a place of peace, and they come to the church and can't find the peace. just like the crazy household they grew up in. Hello, somebody. True love is peaceable. Hello, somebody. Of course, children need your support. This applies all across board. And we want to be a church of love. Amen? Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just wanted to commit our hearts, our minds, and our souls unto thee, Father. Praying, Father God, that you will enable us to be doers of your word and not just hearers, Father. We might be able to apply this kind of love.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program.
In our church, in our marriage, relationships, at work.
We just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God.
We do, Father.
You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life, get right with God, stop smoking, cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. You know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. Thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, we believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home. And put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life is changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program. And I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.